I'd ask for your feedback this morning as a way of beginning our homily. What do you first think of when you think of holiness? What's the first thing that comes to mind for you when you think of holiness? And if some of you are willing to share your answer, I'd appreciate it. Anyone willing to do that? Oh, good. Lily, what do you think of when you think of holiness? Huh? Without sin. Good answer. Very good. What are some other thoughts? What do you think of when you think of holiness? God? Very good. I'm sorry? Willing to serve. Willing to serve God? Yes. What else? Okay. I'm sorry? Church? Allie? Mary? Yeah. All good answers. But notice that most of the answers we gave were somewhat objective. Outside ourselves, except for Lily's answer, being free from sin was more subjective. And as Catholics, we tend to grow up with this idea of holiness as something rather objective, because we grow up with statues, and we grow up with teachings on Mary and the saints and Jesus, and all of them quite true. But the difficulty is integrating that holiness from out there to something in here. Right? And I believe our first reading in our gospel shed some light on how we can make that happen. How can we make the holiness that is out there a holiness that is in here? Notice that in our first reading it says, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And in our gospel, it says, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Do you see the parallel going on there? It is a command by God to be holy. And the first thing to realize is that this, what we call call to holiness, this command by God to be holy, is not just given to people who are holy. It's given to sinners. And it's given to lay people and religious alike. I know I grew up very much revering priests and nuns, as you should. But it doesn't mean they're the only ones who are called to holiness. And hopefully over the last year, I've been able to get across to all of you, because we've kind of pounded into your heads, who is called to be holy? Who is called to be a saint? Can only saints go to heaven? Yes, only saints go to heaven. But who is called to be a saint? Everyone. And do you have to be canonized and have a feast day for yourself to go to heaven? No. But you do have to be a saint. And God can make that happen for each and every one of you. Vatican II calls this the universal call to holiness. Universal because it doesn't matter your state in life. Every single one of us is called to holiness. It also doesn't matter what your background is. A lot of us hold on to the past or images of ourselves that we have in our head or in our heart. It doesn't matter what your background is in sin. It doesn't matter what your orientation is. Everyone is called to holiness. Even the people, brothers and sisters, outside this church. Many of you know I've been reading the Pope's apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel. And I'm in a section right now where he's talking about how we as Catholics tend to do a really good job of church inside church. But we don't do such a good job of church outside of church. In other words, the missionary effort. And I've been talking about this for a couple weeks now too in other homilies. One of the points I made to our pastoral council and to our school council is something I learned in canon law that really kind of hit me, even way back in seminary. It said that the pastor is the pastor of not only the Catholics in the boundaries of that parish, but every soul within that parish. That means I, as a pastor, am responsible for every soul within our boundaries. And you, as parishioners of Christ the King, share, lucky you, in that responsibility. Every soul within our boundaries is a soul that can be won for God. And this is why it's so important for you to evangelize your neighbors. And you can do this through very simple things. It might be the, you know, crucifix up in your house, the statue of Mary in the front yard, inviting your neighbors to things like quilt bingo so they can be around other Christians. Christians gambling, but no less Christians, right? Everyone is called to holiness, and each one of you here is called to be a missionary. In fact, the most interesting thing about becoming holy, guys, is that you become holy when you realize that missionary work. If all you do is keep your faith inside, you'll only grow so much. When you start reaching out with it, that's when you become holy. Number two, I was always struck by this line in the gospel that says, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And I remember in college, thinking about this line and thinking, gosh, that's a tall order, you know? And I remember in college, I also came to a point in my life where I was coming to terms with things in my past, you know, growing up and mistakes I'd made and things like that. And I thought, gosh, I'm not very perfect. And for years, I really struggled with that. And I think many of you do too, as I hear your confessions and visit with you in the office. I know that all of us struggle with this. And somehow we identify the idea of not being a good Christian with not being perfect. And there's a truth to it, but also a lie in there. Yes, our ideal is to not sin. But I went and looked up the definition of perfection. And this is what it said. It was very enlightening. Having all the required or desirable elements or qualities or characteristics as good at it as it can possibly be. As good as it can possibly be. So when we're newborn and we're a little baby, we're as good as we can possibly be. The whole world lays before us. We can't sin yet. But then we become a teenager, we go to college, life happens. And the fallenness of our human state sets in. And there can be a big temptation there to think, I'm not perfect anymore, I've already screwed it up. I can't be a good Christian. Or at least not as good a Christian as those other people over there. But see, in every moment, God is willing to forgive you and to start completely over. I shouldn't even say completely over, because he still looks at our baptism and the good we have done, but he's willing to wipe away all the evil. And that definition of perfection really comes into play, because it says, as good as we can possibly be. It means setting aside the past and moving forward and realizing the possibility of growing in the future. Brothers and sisters, perfection in a fallen world isn't never sinning. That would be wonderful. But that's probably not the reality for most of us here. Perfection in a fallen world means getting back up every time. asking for forgiveness every time, going to confession with great frequency, as our Holy Father has recently exhorted us to do. Lastly, I don't do it a lot, but probably once a week I get on Facebook, mainly to follow up on my siblings. We're getting kind of scattered throughout the country, and it's nice to see pictures of my nieces and nephews. And you have these quote-unquote Facebook friends, right, that you really don't know them at all, but they post stuff on there. And I saw an article the other day that really caught my eye, especially as a pastor. It was an article about how a guy said, why I don't believe in tithing. And I was horrified, especially as a pastor has to look at the budget every week. And I was like, I'm not going to read it. It'll just make me angry, right? So I skipped over it, but it kept bugging me. So I went back to it. And especially because it had been posted by a friend, I'm thinking, what's with this friend of mine? And I actually did know the person. So I clicked on the article and read it, and I ended up reposting it to my page. I love the article, because they made a wonderful point. They said in the Old Testament, and many of you know this, God gave the command to Abraham and to Israel to bring 10% of their produce, whether it was food or animals, back to God, to give back to God. And we talk about giving 8%, 10% in the church, our time, talent, and our treasure. But he made the point that, you know, that's the Old Testament. And Jesus says that he has come not to wipe away the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. And Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. You see, in the Old Testament, I would take my 10%, maybe my lamb from my flock, bring it to the priest. They would slaughter it and divvy out all the pieces and burn the rest as an offering to God. This is why we call Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's no longer a sacrificial lamb, part of my 10%. It's Jesus himself. How much did Jesus give? Did Jesus give 10%? And the point that this author made in this article is that God gives us everything, and that we owe to God absolutely everything. And then as I read that article, it reminded me of a favorite song of mine. It's by a band called the David Crowder Band. They're out of Waco, Texas. They recently retired. But they have a song called Holy Yours. And I'd like to share with you the lyrics of that song. It reads, I am full of earth, you, referring to God, are heaven's worth. I am stained with dirt, prone to depravity. You are everything that is bright and clean, the antonym of me. You are divinity. But a certain sign of grace is this, that from the broken earth flowers come up pushing through the dirt. You are holy, holy, holy. All heaven cries, holy, holy God. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to be holy like you are. You can see the parallel with our first reading in gospel. Second verse. You are everything that is bright and clean. You've covered me with your majesty. And the truest sign of grace was this. From wounded hands, redemption fell down, liberating man. But the harder I try, the more clearly I can feel the depth of our fall and the weight of it all. And so this might could be the most impossible thing. Your grandness in me making me clean. Glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. So here I am, all of me, finally everything, holy, 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 I am holy, holy, yours. So to be holy means to be completely holy, God's. When you think of holiness, it is right to think of those saints. It is right to think of a place in heaven far away from here where things will be different. But it is also right and necessary for us to realize that that place is here and now, that the kingdom has come, that everyone is called to holiness, no matter what your state in life is, and that we, in fact, bring about holiness in our life by reaching out to bring others to holiness. That perfection doesn't always mean never sinning, but always getting up, always trying again, always accepting the mercy of God and striving every day for that ideal. And that holiness means not giving God just 10% or giving God some of my time or part of me, but all of me.